Thank you for downloading this sermon from Heritage Baptist Church. We are so glad that you did. We believe that biblically faithful, Christ-centered, God-glorifying local churches are the primary means that God has chosen to expand His kingdom. If you are part of such a church, we hope that this message will supplement your spiritual diet. If you aren't yet part of such a church, we would love for you to visit us. For more details, please check out our website, www.heritagebaptist.co.za.
Evening, saints. Please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are continuing our discussion with Paul on the subject of the division that was going on in the church at Corinth because of celebrity preachers, or rather the people's preference and association with certain preachers and the wisdom associated with certain preachers. We are picking it up from verse 5, and we're going to go all the way to verse 6 of chapter 4. So, hear God's word. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against the other. This is God's word. As I was traveling here this evening, I realized that the sermon title this evening should really be, Do Not Make Much of Preachers. Do not make much of preachers. That's really the point that Paul is trying to get at here. Paul is laboring. He's been laboring really from verse 10 of chapter 1, or rather verse 18 of chapter 1. He's been laboring to try and show that these divisions along these lines, these different ministries, and these different men, and these particularly these different personalities who are preachers and leaders, that those things should not exist in the Christian church. And he's going to argue it here quite clearly and much strongly, and he's using all the power of his pen to show you how foolish you are when you divide over preachers. He's trying to show here that it is a foolish endeavor to divide over preachers, over ministries, over types of ministries. When you are dividing over ministries and over leaders, men who are being used by God, Paul is trying to show that this is a foolish thing to be doing. And he brings a number of points to our attention to show how foolish this is and how you shouldn't actually be doing it. The heartbeat that he wants to have for us is that we need to be focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, as he mentioned in chapter 1, and his cross, and not men and their service of the cross. He begins by saying, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? And he says, they are simply servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. So he's going to keep picking up on this issue that they are simply servants. They are just workers in another person's field. They are simply hired hands. Someone else is actually doing the work. It is not Paul or Apollos who is doing the work. And he shows this in two ways. He shows this by calling them hired hands who just do the work. And then he shows the fact that they are going to be examined like simple hired hands who are just doing the work. So preachers are hired hands who are just doing the work, and they will be examined and judged by the one who hired them as those who are simply doing the work. Look at how much he emphasizes this. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only he who gives growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to what he has done. Because we are God's fellow workers, but you are God's field, you are God's building. And then he explains and says, I laid a foundation, someone else comes and builds on top of it. And then he makes this point in verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, each one's work will become manifest. For the day of judgment, the day of examination, will reveal it. And he explains what's going to happen to the person once the judgment of their work arrives. But the point is this, verse 16, you are God's temple and God's spirit dwells in you. And so you shouldn't be thinking so much about these men who are working in you, because it is God who is actually doing work in you. You belong to the Lord. You don't belong to Paul. You do not belong to Peter. He also says this in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of Christ. And he goes further to say, even with regards to myself in my work, it doesn't matter much to me whether you evaluate me or I evaluate myself. He says, verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything about me. But even if I'm not aware of something against me, it doesn't matter because it is the Lord who judges me. You see these two things. We're just the preachers and leaders, those who are building on the foundation. They're simply hired hands, and their evaluation and assessment will come by the one who hired them. Your opinion, others' opinion, even the preacher's opinion himself matters not. What matters is the opinion of the one who sent them. So this is why it is foolish for us to divide over men. They're simply hired hands, and they will be examined by the one who knows what happens in the darkness. Look at verse 5. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time. This is what you're doing when you're dividing over men. You are pronouncing judgment before the time has come. You are saying this is the faithful ministry, but you don't know what you're talking about. Do you see this? You have no idea what you're talking about. Before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. What a foolish endeavor it is for you to divide over men, to say you follow this man and you follow that man, when that man's dark purposes have not been disclosed to you. And when you're just following this guy and you're wrapping your entire Christianity around this personality, but you know nothing about what this guy's purpose in his heart is. Because you're not the judge of men. You're not the one who examines. You're pronouncing judgment too early. You're being too quick. You're like an Arsenal fan. You're being too quick with it. You're jumping the gun. You need to pull back and wait for the appropriate time. The appropriate time is when the Lord comes, and he's the one who's going to bring the fire that's going to show whether this work that this preacher was made with silver and gold and precious stones, or was it made with wood, hay, or straw. You don't know that. You might think that you have the gift of discernment, but you don't have that level of discernment because you're not God. There's limitations to your discernment. It is the Lord who knows. And so it is a waste of time. Even Paul himself says, your opinion of me matters not. You see this? Imagine the great apostle himself. He says even his own opinion of himself, this man who was caught up to the third heaven, this man who wherever he landed, I mean, whenever we read in the book of Acts, when Paul lands in a city, there's a fight and there's a church that's born after that. This guy was clearly, wherever he walked, just power was always there. His garments were healing people. And yet he says, even myself, my opinion matters not. It is the one who hired me that matters. So do you see the foolishness of dividing over men? Do you see the foolishness of saying, when I'm going with what this guy says, what does this guy say? What is this guy's ministry? This guy, these are the only important people. Do you see the foolishness of this? He's trying to show that we must not attach our hearts to these people, to preachers. They are simply hired hands who will be examined by the one who has hired them. Let the one who has examined them examine them. You can express appreciation. Certainly, you see that in the relationship that Paul has with the different churches. You can express love. You can pray. You can participate. You can support. But do not divide over because you have no idea what you are talking about. It is astounding to me how people living in Johannesburg in South Africa can fight wars, theological wars amongst themselves, because another guy in America is fighting another guy in America that they have never met. Never met this guy. This guy has never sat down with you and had coffee. He's never come to hospital with you when you were in trouble. Didn't do your wedding. This guy doesn't know you, he has not walked a road with you, you've never seen him what he is like when he is tired, but you are willing here in Johannesburg to fight a war because this guy said this. And you are willing to divide because, well, this guy now doesn't like this other guy, so now I don't like this other guy myself. Because in his podcast he said these things. Do you see the foolishness of this? It is foolish. Paul is saying it is empty. You are acting as though you know when you don't. Here's a big fight of being a Christian. Here's a big fight. One of the biggest fights of being a believer is this. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Know what you're supposed to be knowing and be satisfied in knowing only what you're supposed to know. Don't pretend to be half omniscient. You understand? You and the word omniscient have nothing to do with each other. There's no relationship. You don't know, okay, look, God is 100% omniscient. I'm 3% tab. You are no omniscient at all. You are purely a man, a woman, who has the Spirit of God in him, whom God is working in. That should be enough for you. But when it comes to involving yourself in fights, in third-party things, this is why, one of the reasons why it's so easy for us, you know, to involve ourselves in disputes between people when we know nothing. You know, have you noticed how easy it is for us to just involve ourselves? Someone comes and talks to you and tells you their side, and now you just jump and take their side. But Proverbs says that you're foolish. You don't know what you don't actually know the full story until you hear the other side and examine the matter properly. But we are so weak and so tempted to just jump in things and follow certain things. And Paul is saying, the Lord knows what is hidden in darkness. The Lord knows the purposes. A guy can preach and sweat, preach until he falls down, but you do not know the purposes behind his heart. So don't stake yourself to him. Praise God for if the guy has preached or the guy's book has helped you. Praise the Lord for that. Communicate that. But there is a limit to how far you can go. Do not divide over him. Because that's what they were doing here. They were dividing over these different men. Don't divide over him. Don't act as though he is the be-all and end-all. Christ is the be-all and end-all. I quote Spurgeon a lot because Spurgeon is the one that I am tempted to be like this. I'm tempted to just, what did Spurgeon say? But funny enough, Spurgeon said something here that's very helpful, so I am going to quote him still. I think you can have worse heroes than Spurgeon, but I digress. Spurgeon said, a man preaches and you leave saying, what a great preacher. That's not the point. When a man preaches, you should leave and saying, what a great God. That's the guy. That's the point. So even with Spurgeon, as much as we love him, you know, the Lord is the one who judges him. But those kinds of ideas, thinking that way, that I want the Lord to be primary in my mind and my heart, that should be the goal, not using another man's name and attaching it towards yourself. So that's the first way that he shows that these men are purely hired hands who will be examined like hands that have been hired. And then the second thing that he brings about here quite clearly is the application of this principle. So he shows that these people are merely men and they're going to be examined. So he then says two pieces of application that should flow from this reality. The first one is found in verses 16 to 23 of chapter 3. And the second one is found in verse 6 of chapter 4. Let's look at the first one. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Now, what is he getting at here? Let me tell you what he's getting at. What he's getting at here is that anybody who divides over men is destroying the temple of the Lord, that the Lord is working in. So nobody has just spoken about how all these men are coming to build, and they are building on the foundation that Paul has laid, which is Christ, and their work of building is going to be examined. And so he says, you are the temple of the Lord, not the temple of any man, but the temple of the Lord. And if anybody destroys the temple of God by dividing over men, the Lord will deal with you. You are holy. The temple is holy. And you are that holy temple. The Lord will not just sit by and watch people divide and destroy his temple over men and the names of men. And that is then he explains this quite clearly in verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he might become wise. For the wisdom of the world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. Why? Because you are the temple of God. He comes back to this idea again. You are the temple of God. And he says the fact that you are the temple of God in a different way now. He says, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours and you are Christ and Christ is God's. He's saying the same thing he's effectively said in verse 16 and 18, that you are the temple of God, you belong to God. And if you belong to God, then everything is yours. You belong to the Lord, everything is yours, all of it is yours. Do not divide over men. And of course, he's bringing to the fore the particular issue that was causing that some of this division, which was the pursuit of wisdom, the pursuit of Corinthian, of Greco-Roman wisdom, who speaks the best, who has the loftiest speech, etc. And he says, "Don't. If anyone thinks that they are wise, you need to change that real quick and not be a destroyer of the church because you are pursuing this wisdom. This is a warning. There are people who think that they are clever, and because of their cleverness, think that they can destroy the church of God. And he has just said, don't deceive yourself. The true way of knowledge is to be a fool before the Lord. Don't adopt the world's wisdom. Adopt wisdom before the Lord. Because if you continue in this wisdom of the world, you are dividing the church, and the Lord is going to have to deal with you. The Lord will deal with you. So stop doing that. Stop dividing over this principle and that ideology and that issue and that person. Stop boasting, verse 21, stop boasting in men. That's really what it is. It's stop this division over men and their philosophies and their ideas. Stop coming into the church with your head full of the ideas of so-and-so and so-and-so. Having your head full of these theologies and these philosophies that come from this guy and that guy and that place. And you are coming, and because of those things, you bring them into the church to cause division. Just don't do that. Because if somebody destroys the temple of the Lord is going to destroy him. He's trying to save us here. Do not boast in men. Do not have as your boast, as the thing that you hold on to, who you are associated with. You are the Lord's temple. But notice the glorious implication of the fact that we are the Lord's temple. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all of it is yours. This is our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, that because we are the temple of God, we have everything. We fear nothing. We should not limit ourselves. All that is there is ours. We are there to live. Where there is no end for us. Even, he says, it's amazing here. He says, even death is yours. He's just trying to say, everything is yours. There's nothing you should be afraid of. There's nothing you should be trying to think about and follow. There's no philosophy you're trying to, because all of it is yours. What you're supposed to be doing is trusting in Christ and belong, because you belong to him. And of course, he makes a point that Christ belongs to God. Instead of trying to make yourself special, by holding on to this enlightened philosophy, realize that you are already special because you belong to God. Where are you tempted to make yourself seem like something special? Who are you tempted to associate with? You know, that philosopher or that idea guy that you feel like you need to associate yourself with, you need to go with that guy because, you know, that puts you in the enlightened sphere among the people. Paul is trying to say, don't do that. Everything is yours. You're already the temple of God. You're already special. You have everything. Stop trying to appear, to boast in men, to puff yourself up over ideas and things. Don't do that. You're already special enough. You already have been given all there is. The second application is in verse 6. I have applied all, verse 6 of chapter 4, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against the other. And the idea here is that as those who are benefiting from the ministry of the word from different people, we should not go beyond what is written, but rather, we should receive and not cause a fight. If your guy, the person that has benefited you, is a dead guy from 200 years ago, then benefit from him. And then also if the other person that you like that benefits you, who lives in Asia, benefit from that guy. Just enjoy everything, benefit. Do not rather now fight and cause them to fight against one another. Do not now try and align yourself as if this is the one only way of thinking. And to demonstrate my point, actually, in my in working through the book of Isaiah, because it's a prophet, it's a prophetic book that is so thick, that the way that you view the Bible is extremely important when you come to the book of Isaiah. And so purposefully, in order to stop myself from going towards those whom I think like the most, there are two guys generally who are guiding me. Alec Motier, who's a reformed guy, solid guy, but also this Wesleyan brother, John Oswalt. And I found a lot of benefit by going through to this Arminian brother, John Oswalt, in his exposition of Isaiah in his commentary. And it's amazing to me the insights that my guy, Alec Motier, is missing that John Oswalt is seeing. And so when they differ, the two of them, it's very easy to fight, to say, well, let me go with Alec, because Alec is our guy, you know, he has our badge. But it's possible that John Oswalt's the one who has it right. And you see, that's the way that we're called to think. It's the way that we're supposed to be thinking about these things. We're meant to be thinking not to put people against each other, but to benefit, because everything is ours. And I do want to say this to anyone who is in here who is not in Christ. This discussion of division leaves you out in the cold, because all you are left with is to follow the philosophies of the world that are empty. And the reason that we can even have this conversation is because we've been given the true and right philosophy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So for you who is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are being tossed to and fro by multiple philosophies. You are feeling this pressure to go this way or go that way. And I am telling you that leave all of that, leave all of these things, and come to Christ, who is the steady one, who actually gives what he promises, which is life and life eternal. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask that you'd help us to be a people who benefit from all that is ours, and that we would take seriously this instruction to trust and to love you and you alone, and to notice that you are the one who matters, because you are the one who causes growth. We praise you for your work. And we ask that you'd knead this truth in our hearts, that we might not be tossed to and fro by different men, but rather that we might love you and be faithful only to you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.